We're going to be in the book of Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 58. I just want to share with you for a few moments what took place last week at our 13th annual Central Ohio Work Camp. Central Ohio Work Camp, for those of you who are visiting, is a week-long ministry where teenagers and adults from at least in our camp, from five different states, I believe, came together. And we painted houses in all over Columbus. We painted 12 houses. This again is our 12th year. It was our most challenging year yet, but happy to report that we finished. We got the job done, and we have 12 happy and satisfied homeowners. But as a launch into just a quick discussion about what we did last week, I want to read from the prophet Isaiah chapter 58, and just a quick overview of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a 8th century prophet in the 8th century BC, so before Christ was born. And these prophets, they had a job that wasn't that pleasant, because their job was to tell the people of Israel that they had messed up really bad. And these prophets had to tell the people that because they messed up really bad, God was going to send something fierce. What they foretold for that generation was that another power, another world power was going to come in and dominate them and carry them off into slavery. Isaiah preached about a group called the Assyrians who were going to come in. And history tells us in 722 BC, Assyria came in, they attacked Israel and took the northern kingdom away. They lost their land, they lost their temple, which was in Samaria. And then in 586, another power, Babylon, came in and took away the southern kingdom of Judah and their capital of Jerusalem. So the first part of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 39, is pretty much a story of destruction, impending destruction that was going to come. When you get to chapter 40, there's a change. There's a change in tone. There's a change in message. And many would say that the first 39 chapters, speaks of God's impending judgment. And chapters 40 through 66 of Isaiah begins to speak of hope and comfort and a future restoration of God's kingdom. And so what I'm going to read to you right now comes from that second part of Isaiah. Some even refer to Isaiah 40 to 66 as second Isaiah. I want to read to you a very important passage in chapter 58. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out, they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and they have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land, and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful word. Amen? Well, what can I say? Last week, the work and effort that has been put into the 13th annual Central Ohio Work Camp came to fruition. It was about 5:30 p.m. on Friday evening, June 9th, when we got a text from crew number four, that said, "We're finished and we're headed home." And that meant that for 2017 13th Annual Central Ohio Work Camp, we finished painting our 102nd house since we started this ministry back in 2005. And we managed, church, to get more paint on the houses than on one another. That was a feat in and of itself. And church, I can't begin to tell you the wealth of emotions that I embodied over the past week. Everything from excitement to anxiety to anger to nervousness to joy. To proud, to refreshed, to renewed, to anticipating Central Ohio Work Camp 14 next year in 2018. And so church, in order to complete this task, we had over 100 preteens and teenagers, about 40 adult crew leaders. We had another 75 to 100 servant who volunteered their time and money. We used nearly 250 gallons of paint, over 300 rollers, paintbrushes, and scrapers, 100 tubes of caulk, probably 90 of those was on one house. We used over 100 drop cloths to keep paint off of brick and bushes. We consumed about 1,000 turkey, ham, and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We ate 150 chicken breasts and side of mashed potatoes, 4 humongous pans of pasta and meat sauce. We drove close to 2,000 miles collectively. We spent over $1,000 in gas. The result, 12 happy homeowners who at one point, many of them, knew that they needed to get their house painted. Some of them were facing fines in excess of $1,000. Did not know how they were going to get their houses painted. And then two people showed up at their door and said, "Hey, can we paint your house for free?" And of course they said, "Yes." Somehow we crossed paths. Our stories intersected. And this ministry to serve our community was on its way. And church, I've been saying for the past several months that none of this could have happened without the love, support, prayer, and financial commitment from the Reynoldsburg Church. So thank you. Thank you so much. I can't begin to tell you enough how much I thank you and I appreciate you and I appreciate being a part of this family. Last week, I preached a sermon about the blessing of small churches, and we are a small church, but we are a small church that because God has enabled us and because God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, even though we're a small church, we're able to accomplish big things in the name of Jesus. Amen? So thank you. And this is what has resulted from the intersection, again, of love, prayer, financial support, and servant hours. I'm preparing a longer video where you'll see all the projects. But here's a sample of some of the work we did. This was a house down in the south end of town. Go to the next one. There's the after picture. Here's a house that's not showing right now, so we can't see it. So it was nothing, and we built a house. And if you show the next picture. There it is. We didn't build a house, but that's a house on the west side in the hilltop area. Here's a house that we can't see again. It was a house on the bottoms. I think this was the house that Perry worked on. Go ahead and show the next one. Trust me, if you see the before picture, you will appreciate greatly the great work that went into that. Go to the next picture. What do we have next? Here's a house that's off of Parsons, kind of south Columbus, and go to the next one, and there's that picture. Some dramatic before and after pictures. Go ahead, and there's that's what this is about, man. That's one of our crew leaders, David Maynard, who just he takes off a week of work. Their family, the Maynard family, they're members at the Alum Creek Church. Their family vacation is Central Ohio Work Camp. They take that week off as a family, and this is their family vacation. They come and they paint houses. And I don't know if you understand that type of sacrifice, because many of us are preparing to go, you know, all over the place for vacations. This is their vacation. They come and they serve. And with all the work that we do, we have to find time to get some rest. And so here's a kid who on a job site said, "I got to get me a nap," all right? That's what Central Ohio Work Camp is all about, man. Teens from, you know, churches in Indiana and churches in Cincinnati and churches in Alum Creek Church and here and some other places in Toledo. We even had two kids from Florida come up to work camp, and here's our group picture on Thursday night. Some kids had left by then, but look, all smiles. Kids who paid $160 to come and work. That doesn't make sense, okay? That's a paradox. You come to work, you want to get paid, but these kids paid to work. And I don't know that there was any kid that didn't say at the end of the week, "I can't wait to come back next year." We hear so many stories in the news about what the bad stuff that kids are doing, church. There's just not enough stories about these kids who are doing this good work. And so I want us to praise God for our kids that participated in Central Ohio Work Camp this year. They worked so hard. You know, they worked through lunch break and took shorter lunch breaks in order to, you know, I was talking with my brother on the phone who had saw some of these pictures on Facebook that were being posted. And he says, man, I didn't realize that you were doing these big houses. I mean, some of these old Victorian homes, and we're on 32-foot ladders, you know, painting peaks. And we were safe. We had ladder safety training, and we did all the things that's necessary to make sure no one got hurt. We had no hospital visits. We had no car accidents. Everything went wonderful. And it's something that I think is worth saying. You know, someone may ask the question, like, why is it that kids are so eager to work on a project where, you know, you're getting up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to eat breakfast at 7, and you're driving out to your work sites at 7:30, and you're working till 4 o'clock, and it's hot outside. Although this week it was really good weather, got kind of chilly on a couple of days. But why are they so eager to work? And it's something that we've been discovering as we study, you know, trends in church and millennials and what's like young people, they're eager to get involved in something that has a cause. They want to participate in something that has a cause. If church just becomes this thing where all we do is just come here, sing songs, and go home, most people just don't want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of a cause. Jesus didn't come here so that we could just come here, sit down, and do the same thing over and over again. Jesus called us to be a part of a movement. He called us to be a part of a cause, something that was going to revolutionize this world. These kids see this simple act of painting homes as a cause, something special. And it's something that they, again, they're eager to come back to. Now, again, as a parent, it kind of amazes me to watch my daughters work hard every day on someone else's house. But I'm thankful for it, all right? I'm thankful that they participate, but they see the greater cause. They see the smiles on homeowners. They see homeowners coming out and just crying, and they're in tears, and they're just amazed. We had one lady comment on our Facebook page that said, it was just amazing to see these kids come every day. They didn't disturb the neighborhood. They just came out. They did their work. It was like they weren't even there. But the fact that they came to beautify that neighborhood. Here's a letter from a homeowner, a house we did on Olmsted. He says, on behalf of the 70-year-old senior citizen and primary heir to the property located at 1042 Olmsted Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, we thank you for your community action work that offered a lifeline for the heirs to maintain a healthy environment in the Olmsted community. The Central Ohio Work Camp embodies the spirit of care that makes our community a better place to live. Thank you for your outreach assistant, signed Michael Baker. That's a cause, church. And a simple act of painting houses and cutting the grass afforded this family, who didn't have the financial means to do that. They were being fined by the city, you know, $500, and they could not pay the fine for $500, enables them to remain in that community. So young people want to be a part of a cause. And Jesus came to establish a movement, a cause, a reason. And that's why we do the things that we do. But it's also worth mentioning that we could not have done this without collaboration. You know, as we're planning work camp, one of the things that we have to plan each year are our meals in the evenings. Now, you know, Central Ohio Work Camp is completely fundraised. We fundraise every cent of work camp, plus the fees that kids pay to come work. And we found ourselves this year not having as much money as we had in the past. And so it was a challenge. How are we going to come up with dinners for the week? And because of the work of Wendy Menzler, who was going out and trying to recruit partners to help us out, she reached out to Old Charlie's. I think he went to Old Charlie's to get a gift certificate for our fundraising dinner we had a month or so ago. And Old Charlie said, hey, we'll do something better. We'll feed 150 people on Monday night. So we had one dinner paid for. That Tuesday night, we were going to be at a swimming pool and hanging out, and the Reynoldsburg Church was going to provide the meal for that. Melissa Berry lives next door to a caterer, and she's telling the caterer about the ministry that we do. And he says, I tell you what, 130 people, I'll feed 130 people for $1 a person. So we got about $800 worth of food for $130. And then I was told that there was a member who says, hey, I'll pay $130. Another meal paid for. Spring Road Church of Christ, which is right down the road from Otterbein University, where we were staying, they said, hey, we'll provide a meal on Wednesday night. Didn't pay for a meal on Wednesday night. On Thursday night, we have a homeowners banquet. We invite all the homeowners to come and eat a meal with their crews. And we had some food from a Mexican restaurant. They catered it. It was about a $1,500 meal. Well, there's a member at the Alum Creek Church of Christ that does landscaping, and he's part of this bartering community. And so he'll do work and he'll gain points for doing work for other companies. And he had enough points at this restaurant, and he says, hey, you can use my points, and we pay for the meal through this guy landscaping. And then Friday night, some members at the Alum Creek Church made food for everyone. We couldn't do this without collaboration. We had transportation issues this year, church. We didn't have enough vehicles to take people to their job sites. I put something out on Facebook. I get a call from the pastor at the Lutheran church. He calls me, hey, Dion, we got a van that we're not using next week. Hey, you can use our van. Let us use their van for the whole week. Companies, businesses, other churches, and different people. There's no way we could have done this without collaboration. And what we discovered is that through a simple act of painting a house on crews, that range anywhere from a crew of 8 to a crew of 10 or maybe close to 12, that some of these crews got together and many of them didn't know each other on Monday. But by Wednesday, you thought that they were best friends. So what we have learned about this ministry is that it creates community. It creates new friendships. And, now that every kid has like 2 cell phones, they exchange numbers and Snapchat profiles and all that. And they're now connected. Folks came together as total strangers, and they're leaving as new friends. There were about 10 kids that came to this camp that aren't a part of any church. They just live in the neighborhood of one of the kids that came to church, and they have now come for the past 3 years, and they're now building relationships with church kids. In a few weeks, we're going to church camp, and many of these kids that worked on houses and painted houses, they're going to meet back at church camp. And do you see how through God, through Christ, communities are being built amongst these teenagers while we are building up physical communities and neighborhoods all over the city of Columbus? This is incredible stuff, church. And then another I think point that needs to be made in reflection of this year is that the Central Ohio Work Camp is Christ-driven. This is our attempt to be Jesus Christ in our neighborhood. This is our attempt to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ with every stroke of the brush, with every roll of the rolling pad, with every scrape of the scraper, with every shot of the caulking gun. We are being Jesus Christ. We're being Jesus Christ, who declared in his personal mission statement, recorded in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to give sight to the blind and release the oppressed and to preach the good news to the poor. This is the same Jesus when John's disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, John wants to know, are you the one that we're to be waiting for in Matthew 11? Jesus says, I want you to go back and tell John what you see and hear, that the lame walk, that the blind see, and that the good news is being preached to the poor. This is the same Jesus that in Mark chapter 1, in verse 14 and 15, it says, at that time, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God and repentance, or the kingdom of God and change. He came to set this world on its side, to turn it upside down, to change this world, not by going into the temple and sitting down and just singing songs. You know what he did? He took worship to the streets. And that's the model of Central Ohio Work Camp. We aim to take worship to the streets because we view what we do as just a part of our worship, as our singing and praying and eating communion and giving our money and doing all the things that we do in here, but taking it out to the streets. Which brings us back to this Isaiah passage, because the complaint by God about the people of God back in that day is that their worship was so inward focused, and it was so focused on these inward practices and these practices of religiosity. Where God has to check them and says, that type of fast that you think is the fast that I want, where you look all sad and you look all dry, and you want everyone to feel sorry for you. No. Type of fast that I want is a fast where you become champions of justice. You become champions for the poor. You become the voice of the voiceless. You become the ones that reach out to the last and the least and the lost, the left out and the lonely. That's the type of fast that I'm desiring. And when you participate in that type of fast, I mean, and look at the other fast is all right. And singing the songs, that's all right. But that absent of fighting against injustice, that type of fast without reaching out to the poor, helping the poor, speaking up for the poor. If you don't combine them, you don't do both, you're really not going to enjoy the refreshment that I have been so willing to give. This is what God says, so willing to give you. I want you to enjoy the refreshment that I want to give to you. There's work to be done. But then after all of that, I think it's appropriate that we also speak of this. After doing all the work that we have done, after doing all the ministry that we have done, that we rest. God did not create us to just work and work and work and work and go and go and go and go and go. He also created us to rest. And so in that Isaiah passage, there is talk about Sabbath. There is talk about rest. And so trust me, church, this week, I'm taking some rest. I'm getting some rest. I'm taking a week off. You might not see me. You might. I mean, where'd Dion go? Did he? I'm going to rest, and I hope that our kids and adults, take. I know you have to go back to work, and some of you adults, but it's time that we rest. We work, we play, and we rest. And this is a rhythm that God created. Take some time to read the creation story in chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 4, and just read that story and get caught up in that rhythm where God is creating all these wonderful things, and he's creating trees, and he's creating animals, and he creates humans. And after all that wonderful creation, what does he do? He rests. As such, it seems appropriate that we as the people of God find time to rest. And then we get back to work, and we play, and we rest, and we work, and we play, and we rest. Church, Central Ohio Word Camp every year is something that restores my energy as you know, energy draining as it is. It restores my belief that, man, we can do a lot of things when we put our minds and our hearts to it. We can do a lot of things when we plan well, when we work together, when we cooperate and not compete, when we pray, when we dream big. I'll be honest with you. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I'm a skeptic, man. Thursday night, you know, the day before Friday, the last day, I said, there's no way we're going to finish these jobs. There's no way we're going to finish. And I was prepared to go to homeowners and say, you know, sir, we're going to have to come back and finish. Ma'am, we're going to have to come back and finish. There's no way we're going to finish. But God did something special. And we finished. Because God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. And if God could do that with Central Ohio Work Camp, God could do that in this church. God could do that in our lives. So my last point here today is that some of the unsung heroes in the success or this ministry we call Central Ohio Work Camp are the homeowners. Why? Because two guys show up at these homeowners' houses and we're wearing these bright colored shirts. And I'm sure many of these homeowners have heard so many scams and they're just all these sketchy people. But one of the first things that they all do, they all invite us into their homes. And we sit down with them and we share with them what our ministry does and we talk to them about it. And they say yes. And so we always thank the homeowners for allowing us to work on their homes. They allow it. They let us. Now, many of us in our lives are in need of, it's in need of renovation. It's in need of repair. It's in need of some ongoing work. And many of us have simply not said yes to God. So in the spirit of what has taken place this week in Central Ohio Work Camp 13, I want us all to take a self-inventory of our lives and to look at what needs to be fixed and what needs to be repaired and what needs to be tweaked and what needs to be, you know, adjusted. And instead of trying to do it ourselves, or maybe you've come to that point where you understand, I can't do it myself. I've tried. I've tried all the self-help stuff. I can't do it. I need help. I want you to say yes to God. I want you to say yes to His restorative power. I want you to say yes to His repairing power. I want you to say yes to His renewing power. I want you to say, yes, God, I will let you in to do what you need to do to fix me up, to make me bright, to make me new, to fix that broken piece of my life, to fix that broken spirit, to fix my broken attitude, to fix this broken relationship, to fix this addiction, to fix whatever it is that needs to be fixed. I'm saying, yes, God, I'm letting you in. Do something special in me. Repair me. As we sing this song, Lord, I give you my heart. Let this song be that yes. Let this song be that affirmative. God, I need you in my life to fix my pride, to fix my anger, to fix my jealousy, to fix all the things that are just awry in my life, to fix my marriage, to fix the relationship between me and my kids or me and my parents. God, I need you to fix it. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving it all to you. I'm saying yes. You can do something powerful in my life. As wonderful and powerful as God was and allowing us to finish these house projects, I know that he can do a powerful work in our lives. And it's my prayer that you say yes to him. If there is something that the church can do for you by way of prayer or conversation, we want to provide you this opportunity as we sing. If you just want to come forward and share with us what it is that you need. If you're in need of God's restorative, repairing power in your life and you just want us to pray for that, you want us to surround you and love you and pray for God's restorative power to just invade your life. If you're not a Christian and you want to make a profession of Christ and you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we'll provide that ministry for you. But not only that, we will walk alongside you as you walk and grow in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you're wanting God to invigorate your life and give you energy so that you can work and play and rest and get caught up in that rhythm, we want to be a church that walks alongside you. Let's stand and let's sing.